a need we have in our church today. Our church needs to awaken to the things of the Lord. It's good to have you today. We've been preaching through the book of Hebrews, and we're going to begin today with Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, we're going to stand and read together this portion of a verse. Read it with me. But we see Jesus. Read it again. But we see Jesus. One more time. But we see Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. As we've been going through the book of Hebrews, this is Hebrews chapter 2, and there's a lot in Hebrews. I've entitled the topic of Hebrews, what did I say? What's the big idea? What's the big idea? Jesus is the big idea. All through Hebrews, there's different depictions and different descriptions that the author shares with us. And we've discovered Jesus as the Creator. We've talked about our inheritance as children of God. We've talked about angels. We've talked about a lot of different things. But you know, sometimes it's easy to think about the blessings and think about our inheritance. And think about all that transpires in our church and our own personal lives, and we forget about the one who gives all that to us. And so I want to talk about Jesus today. Matter of fact, sometimes all of these blessings can become a distraction about the one who gives the blessings. Our goal and our aim here at Life Change Christian Fellowship is to become like Christ and to make Christ known. Pick up a pen out of the pew in front of you. Did somebody get yours?
Yeah.
Okay. Own it is our little theme or motto, to become like Christ and to make Christ known. I shared last Sunday night with those that were here, I had a phone call the Thursday prior, and there was a young boy, 13 years old, and I answered the phone, and I said, "Hello, Life Change Christian Fellowship," and he said, "How do I become like Christ?" He had found one of our pens and was wondering, how does one become like Christ? Well, it kind of shocked me to begin with. That doesn't happen often. And so I told him, well, the first thing you have to do is you've got to become a child of God. He said, "How do I do that?" And of course, I was able to, you know, share with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was not, at the end of the conversation, it was about a 10-minute conversation, I asked him, "Would you be willing to receive Christ is your personal Lord and Savior?" He said, "Well," and I could hear his mom in the background said, "I've got to go now. My mom's calling me." And I said, "Will you call back anytime?" And so I'm praying for this young man. I have his name. Praying for this young man that he will call back, and then we can, because God's working in his life. And it's amazing how God uses different little seeds in people's lives to bring them to himself. And if we had the time this morning, we would be able to share how God just planted seed in your own heart, in your own life, and how that grew to fruition, and eventually you came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So this is the proper focus, to become like Christ. But listen, if we have a misconception of who Jesus is, then we're going to miss the mark. There are a lot of misconceptions about who Jesus is. Just in the last few weeks, I've had people come to me and tell me things like, "God is not a loving God." Because you look at all of the pain in the world, and how could God be a loving God when there's so much pain in the world? Well, they don't really understand God, do they? And they don't understand the problem with sin. They don't understand that if you leave meat out of the refrigerator and it goes rotten, you can't blame God. Right? And it's the same way with the world and the situation that it's in. It's not God's fault that the world is in the situation it's in. It's our fault. And it's because of the sin that we've embraced as worldly, earthly beings, and we continue to follow down those paths. And how can a nation expect the blessings of God if they're not willing to follow His precepts? Some people don't understand who God is. There's consequences to behavior. And every one of you in here have made poor choices in your life. And every time you've made a poor choice, there's been consequences. And it's not because God doesn't love you. That's just the way life works. Okay? The second thing, everything that happens, this was spoken to me, everything that happens must be God's will because He is sovereign. A fellow lost a family member to a suicide. And he said, I don't understand God. God is sovereign, so that must have been His will. You agree with that? Good, because that's not God. That's not God. Those children killed at school a couple of weeks ago. Was that God's will? He's sovereign. He is sovereign, but it's not His will. Matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John 10:10. Some of you know that by heart. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So let me ask you a question. Is Jesus here to kill, steal, and destroy, or is He here to give life? And you need to understand that. You need to understand, if you're going to become like Jesus, He's a person who's going to bring life. And so by our actions and by our deeds and by our words, we ought to be bringing life to individuals that we come in contact with. If we're bringing death to them through our words, and we can do that. How many of you have ever been hurt by words? How many of you have ever hurt someone with your words? Yeah? There's life and death in the tongue, Scripture says in Proverbs. And so if we're going to become like Christ, we need to know who Christ is, and we need to pattern our life after Him, and we need to speak those things that bring life. We need to do those things that bring life. God is sovereign. But also, He is such that He has given men their choices. He has given the sovereignty of making your own choices. And by your making your choices, that does not deplete or take away from God's sovereignty. He's still God. But you can do things outside His will, and because of that, it causes consequences not only to yourself, but others around you. God has given us the freedom to choose. And my choice affects you. And your choice affects me. God is sovereign, but He has given us the choice. Some people say God can't be trusted. Some people had poor role models growing up. And they compare God to an abusive parent. I can't trust him. I can't trust him. Let me ask you a question. How much do you trust God? If he tells you to do something you don't want to do, how much do you trust him? I mean, it's easy to say, I trust God with everything. But then when he asks you to do something that is not comfortable to you, are you trusting him? Your trust is proven by whether or not you're obedient to him. Have you found that it's not always easy to do what God wants you to do? Most of the time it's a hard choice, isn't it? I mean, anybody can go through life doing what they want to. But when we come to the point where God is asking us to do something, you think it was easy for Jesus to go to the cross? He asked, Lord, if there's another way, please show me what that is. But not my will, yours. And maybe God has asked you to do something and you've been in that same situation. It's almost like you're having to sacrifice yourself to be able to go and do what God has asked you to go and do. And that's a hard decision. If I give my life to Christ, what's he going to ask me to do? I'll go this far with God because I trust him this far. Are you willing to go all the way with the Father? If you are, that proves how much you trust him. So let me ask you again. How much do you trust the Lord? Let me say this. Just because other people have burned you, making promises to you, then not fulfilling those promises, that's not the Jesus we know. That's not the Jesus we know. Scripture says in Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. I used to work with addicts. And did you know that addicts can't be trusted? I have not met an addict who's not a con artist. Okay? I mean, they'll look you straight in the eye and tell you this sob story. This is what I've learned. I can trust a person to do what they've always done until they prove themselves differently. Okay? I can trust a person to do what they... What, you don't trust me? I don't know you. And what I do know about you is that you can't be trusted. That's what I know. And a person can be trusted to do what they've always done until they prove themselves differently. So I want to ask you a question. Can God be trusted? He's proven himself that he can be trusted. Over the millennia, he's proven himself that he can be trusted. In Titus 1:2, Scripture says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Before there was time, God promised eternal life. And he cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Some see God as an ogre. And he's just waiting for them to mess up. He's waiting for them to sin so that he can bat them across the head with a baseball bat. Is that the God we know? No. See, we need to see Jesus. We must see Jesus as he truly is. Not with misconceptions. Have you ever had misconceptions regarding God? Yeah. I've had misconceptions regarding God. I've thought about him in ways that it's not truly his character. But the more I study his word, the more I understand what his character is. And if you will study his word, you're going to discover some things about God perhaps that you have not known before. You can discover that you can trust him, that you can put your faith in him, and that sometimes he will lead you in areas that are difficult, but he will always bring you through them and always bring you out of them. We need to see the real Jesus. Some people are either blinded or they have a blurred vision. Talked earlier about sometimes the blessings of God can create misguided focus. It's easy sometimes to focus on healings. We've had several that have taken place here at this church. And it's easy to focus on the healings and not focus on the healer. Okay? It's easy, we talked about angels, and it's easy to focus on the angels. And they're real, and they're ministering to us, and they're ministering for us, Scripture says. And it's easy to focus on them, and when we do, though, it takes our eyes off Jesus. There are times I want to preach some feel-good messages. And I want you to feel good. I want you to know who you are in Christ. I want you to know what your inheritance is. I want you to know what your rewards are. I want you to know what your blessings are. But sometimes that can take us off and begin focusing on the wrong thing. And we need to see Jesus as he truly is. Did you remember, I don't know if you caught it or not, but in that passage of Scripture we read at the very beginning, in Ephesians, and we prayed for one another. We prayed for each other that we would understand that we are Jesus' inheritance. We are his inheritance. Doesn't that just blow you away? We know that Jesus is our inheritance. But Jesus says, you are my inheritance. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing love, isn't it? Amazing love. It's easy to get distracted. Life struggles often blur our vision as well. You remember when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt? And they had these struggles. What were they focused on? Focused what they didn't have. They focused on their problems. focusing on themselves rather than focusing on the one who could bring them out of the troubles. Let me ask you a question. Do sometimes your troubles and struggles get your focus off the Lord? I want to ask you a question. How much good does it do to worry when you're in those seasons? I just want to let you know it's a season. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's a season. It's a season. It's not forever. It's a season. Okay? And sometimes we make the seasons longer than they ought to be and what God intended them to be, because He's trying to get our attention on Himself so that we can see the true Jesus rather than focusing on the troubles and the difficulties that we have. Cynthia and I have been in a season for about 20 years. With her health. And it just seems like every day we wake up with the anticipation that today is going to be the day. Today is going to be the day. Every day we wake up, today is going to be the day. Today's going to, for 20 years, we've been looking for that. Our focus is on Jesus. And our hope is that during our season, that we're still trying to bring glory and honor to the Lord during our season. All of us go through seasons. So during your season, are you going to continue to trust the Lord in your season? Or are you going to grumble and complain and gripe and bellyache just like the children of Israel did? And your season may last more than just 2 years. It might last 40 years. Whoo, I don't want that kind of season. That's a long season. Amen? So we can make our seasons longer, or we can shorten our seasons by continuing to focus on the Lord. The Lord is our strength. He is our help. He is our hope. He is our everything. I want you to listen to this passage of Scripture found in Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. It says, "But now thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Isn't that a wonderful passage of Scripture? Amen. So, I want you to put your name where it says Jacob and Israel. So go to the next slide. Every time there's a blank, we're going to read it together, and I want to hear everybody's name. Okay? And say it like you mean it. "But now, thus saith the Lord who created you, O Brad, and He who formed you, O Brad, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, Brad. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, Brad, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Brad, your Savior." Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord. You should just go home and just rejoice. If we were a dancing church, now would be the time. That's a good passage of Scripture to meditate on. That's a wonderful passage of Scripture to think about, to memorize, to put in your heart. God says, listen, as your pastor, I don't know what you're going through. Some of you I do. I don't know what you're going through. But the Lord knows what you're going through. And He says, "Hey, Denise, I'm going to be with you. I am with you. When you go through the waters, I'm with you. I'm with you, Denise. Don't forget it. When you go through the fire, Todd, I'll be with you. Don't forget it. I'm not going to let you be burned. I'm not going to let you be scorched. I will be with you. Don't forget it. That's the Lord speaking. He's speaking to you. Whatever you go through, He will be there with you. He didn't say, I didn't say anywhere in here, He said, you're not going to go through the waters and you're not going to go through the fire. Did you read that? No, I didn't read that. Matter of fact, I've been looking for that scripture for years. When I find it, I'll show it to you. But it's not there. It's not there. He said, when you go through. When you go through. Because He knows we're going to go through some things. But listen, when we go through those things, we need to look up. Not look down, not feel like we're drowning. Look up. Sometimes we do feel like we're drowning, but guess what? Just like Peter, the Lord will raise us up. All we have to do is call on Him. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. Whatever you're going through, I'm going to go with you through it. If you knew the Lord was going with you through something, you think it would be easier for you to go through it? Oh, buddy. I'm going to be with you. I am with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord is with you. In the good times and the bad. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I should have saved that one to last. This one's kind of a downer. Not really. But did you know that there are some people who can be accusers, who can take our focus off the Lord? And accusers blind us. They steal our focus. Has anybody ever falsely accused you? What does that do to your focus? Kind of jars you, doesn't it? Kind of blurs your vision. Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever accused you when you did it and you were accused? Yeah, probably. But it's still like, I don't like that. I don't like that. So here's the deal. You may not be aware of this, but God never accuses us. He never puts guilt trips on us. He never shames us. And He never condemns us. He doesn't even try to control us. What if we treated each other that way? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I think we do, but I'm just saying. The enemy is the one who accuses us. And if somebody is accusing you, it's because they're not listening to the voice of the Lord, they're listening to the voice of the enemy. Okay? In Revelation chapter 12, it says the enemy stands before the Father accusing the saints. It's not the saints that are accusing the saints, it's the accuser. Satan himself accusing us. And so sometimes there are people who are mouthpieces for Satan. And they accuse us, trying to make us feel guilty. Trying to shame us, trying to blame us, so that we lose our focus. And now they're the people who's saying that, they don't realize they're being used by the enemy. But the enemy's desire is that we lose our focus. And so when somebody accuses you, you just go to the Father and say, Father, I'm being accused. If I've done something, would you forgive me? What do you think he'll say? Yeah, bring it. Yeah, So, yeah, he'll bring it to mind. So you ask him, Lord, forgive me? And he'll say, of course I forgive you. You're my child. But you know what? Sometimes nobody has to say anything. We're just accused in our head. Right? The enemy brings up the past. You don't deserve the blessings of God. How many of you deserve the blessings of God? Only because you're a child of God, not for anything you've done. Okay? It's not that you worked for it and said, okay, God, I deserve your blessings. No. You're blessed because you're a child of God. That's the only reason. Now, sometimes we as children of God hinder God's blessings from coming our way because we don't believe that we're good enough. We believe we don't deserve it. And so we hinder him from being, because we're listening to the accuser. So I want to ask you, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? God says, I love you. I'm holding you by my righteous right hand. You're the apple of my eye. As a matter of fact, this morning during our Sunday school class, life group class, Paul was teaching on listening to the Holy Spirit. And so I asked the class to listen and ask the Lord, do you love me? And when they responded, every one of them responded differently. There's about 10 people who said, this is what the Lord told me, this is what the Lord told me, this is what the Lord told me. It was all affirmative. Yeah, I do love you. But one person said, I'm the king apple of my eye, of his eye. Somebody said, I love you with an everlasting love. And on and on and on. But every one of them, it was affirmative, but it was unique to that individual. Isn't that amazing? God loves you. God loves you. He's never going to accuse you. He's not going to beat you up. He's not going to withhold things from you. Because he loves you. If we ever learn who Jesus is, if we really get the truth of who Jesus is, his character, and what that means to us, I think it would change our lives. Talked about that young man who called me last week. 13-year-old. How do I become like Christ? If somebody asked you that question, what Christ would you point them to? The Christ of your own imagination? Or one that is portrayed in Scripture? But we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. That's what the author wants us to see. Is Jesus. Giving descriptions about heaven and blessings and angels, but he says, putting all that aside, we see Jesus. Are there some misconceptions in your own heart that you need to maybe get out of your life about who Jesus is? Are there some trust issues? God's been asking you to do something and you've been kind of like a donkey with his heels dug in. Can't do there. What's the Lord asking of you? Do you really see him as he is? Is your perception accurate? I believe if you saw him as he really is, there would not be anything you wouldn't be willing to do with him. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for loving us. And Lord, I'm asking you if there's anything, and you are continuing to reveal more and more to me every day. And Lord, it's amazing who you are. God, I'm asking you if there's anything in my life where I'm mixed up, I have a blurred vision, then Lord, I pray that you'd reveal that to me. Lord, I believe that the more we know you, the more we're going to trust you. So Lord, we give ourselves to you today. And I'm asking you for this church and for my own life that you reveal more of yourself to us. In Jesus' holy name.